So look at that battle. That's a powerful battle right there. Look at what's, your battle was not against flesh and blood. Your battle was not against your coworker. Your battle was not against your husband or your wife. Your battle is not against your neighbor. It says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with a message titled, All Prayer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of All Prayer.
But as I was going through this past week, I was asked to be a part of a prayer service downtown, and it was called a sacred assembly, where we gather together just to pray for the city of Pittsburgh. And it was a powerful time. You know, it wasn't a time of preaching or teaching. It was just a time of prayer. And it was wonderful. And then on Friday, I was at a prayer luncheon with an individual. Some of you may know him or remember he wrote a book called Experiencing God. His name is Henry Blackaby. And they were handing out these books down there, his new book, Experiencing Prayer with Jesus. And so I've been reading through that, and it's really been challenging my heart in the area of prayer. And so as I come today, I want to challenge us in this area of prayer. And as we get started today, if you'll put that first slide up, I want to ask a couple of questions, if you go to the next one. All right. And just to meditate on this, first, do you have a regular prayer time? Just stop and think about that. Do you have a regular prayer time? Second, how long does your prayer time last? Third, where do you pray? Where do you pray? And there's a method to my madness while I'm doing this. Where do you pray? If I was to ask you, what place do you pray in? Where is your altar at? Might be in your home, might be in your car, might be on your job. Where do you pray? How do you pray? Does your prayers just consist of asking God for a bunch of things? How do you pray? What do you pray about? And do you feel that your prayer life is effective? Are you seeing answers to your prayers? Do you feel like you are communicating with heaven when you pray? At this luncheon I was at on Friday afternoon, a pastor from Atlanta was speaking, and he was talking about how he led his church into a deeper intimacy in prayer with the Lord. And just sitting there, I was convicted. And I thought that, you know, Lord, if the people of Bethany are going to be intimate with you in prayer, that the pastor has to be intimate. And I just was challenged and really felt the need to deepen my intimacy with God. And as I do that, I'm hoping that the congregation would follow suit. We enter into a time of Lent, and people give up things for Lent. And generally, you know, I don't necessarily give anything up. I think it's a good practice, though, you know, for people to do that. But I would ask that during this Lenten season, that whatever you have given up, if you have chosen to engage in Lent in that way, that's good. But I'm going to ask that in addition to that, that you would tighten up on your prayer life. That over the next couple of weeks, that you might find yourself becoming more intimate with God. Because after all, prayer is one of the greatest privileges that God has given us. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus didn't say men ought to always work. He didn't say that men ought to always play. He said one thing. Men ought to always pray. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said, pray without ceasing. And if we think about this awesome privilege that we have to come into contact with the God of the universe, that all the power that's out there is available to you. Somebody said, how much power can you have? You can have all the power that God has. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we'll be able to get out here and raise the dead and, you know, make chairs move by looking. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you think about if God's people would learn how to tap into the power of prayer, the great things that could be done, not only in their individual lives, but also in the life of the church. Open in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And this is a familiar passage of scripture, and we often read this, and we have heard so many sermons that have been taught on the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So look at that battle. That's a powerful battle right there. Look at what's, your battle was not against flesh and blood. Your battle was not against your coworker. Your battle was not against your husband or your wife. Your battle is not against your neighbor. It says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But look at principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he tells us how to deal with them. You know, we have all kind of formulas these days when we watch TV on how to do spiritual warfare. But we miss one of the main ones right here. The main way to do spiritual warfare is to put on the armor of God. He says here, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. When is the evil day? That day when evil comes your way, when bad things happen to you. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So he gives you all that armor, right? The helmet, shoes, breastplate, sword, all that stuff. He's telling you how to do battle. And all that he gives us is absolutely worthless. And we miss verse 18. And I think verse 18 is the key to the spiritual armor, and it's the key to life. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying with all prayer. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Praying with all prayer. I'm going to ask that you would go to the next slide after. Here is a poem that I often read in the morning to remind me why I need to pray. I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems jumbled around me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me, but he said, you didn't seek. And then it goes on and it says, I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Are you too busy to pray? I read a book one time, and the title of the book was Too Busy to Pray. Too busy not to pray. And yet still, I find that when I get up and I spend time with God and I get my orders for the day, it seems like my day flows a little bit different. But when I get up and I ignore the closet, oftentimes I find myself beating my head against the wall, frustrated throughout the day, seeking wisdom, seeking power, and not being able to draw on the resources that God has given because I haven't taken that time to consecrate my day before the Lord. A couple of years ago, I taught a series on prayer, and in it, we talked about the different types of prayer. And so I wanted to reintroduce that to us this morning so that our church could be a praying church. We get prayer requests. And Sister Naomi Hale was the head of our prayer ministry. And she will tell you that people email, call into this church prayer requests. And the one reason that they called in because they said, I heard this church is a praying church. I said, Lord, now I don't want to have a reputation like the book of, like that church in the book of Revelation, that you have a reputation, but you come up far short of your reputation. If people are sending in prayer requests because they say that Bethany is a praying church, then there ought to be some substance behind that. We ought to be a praying church. And so the first thing that I want to talk about in our prayer time, that as we have a prayer time, we ought to have a time of praise. People say, and I've had people tell me this before, how do you pray? You know, I can't pray for more than 5 minutes because I don't know what to pray about. I don't know what to pray for. Well, I'm here to tell you today that if you start your prayer time with some praise, that's a good way to kick it off. I remember on Monday Night Football, they used to have Hank Williams, and he would sing that song about, are you ready for some football? And then he would always say at the end, let's get this thing kick-started. And so if you want to get your prayer life kick-started, if you want to get your prayer life on the right track, then you ought to start with some praise. What is praise? Praise means that you spend time giving God worth and value. Is God worth anything to you? Did he get you up this morning? Did he start you on your way? Has he provided for you? Is God worth anything to you? Did he make a way when there was no way? Is God worth anything to you? We go to our jobs every day. And why do we go to our jobs every day? Because we're going to get a paycheck. Our job is worth something to us. Our job is going to provide our needs. Our job is going to help us to survive and exist. We give worth to our job. We give so much worth to our job that we get up and take an hour to get ready to go to work. Sometimes we spend a half hour to an hour getting to work. And then we stay at work for 8 hours. Why? Because our job means something to us. We have to ask the question, does God mean anything to you? See, God doesn't need you to praise him. He don't need you to praise him. He's doing this so that it will help you to focus on his greatness. That whenever you come, you focus on the greatness of God. What are some ways that you can focus on God's greatness? See, this is why I gave you the notes today, so you can see how you can focus on God's greatness. You can give him worth and value by adoring him for who he is. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's ever-present. He's unchanging. And all you got to do is begin to focus on one of these aspects. If you just think sometimes about how powerful God is, and that Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, he says that I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? And when I sit back and I think about that, man, it just causes me to be overwhelmed. And I think about this God who can do all these things, and yet and still, he's my Lord and Savior, that he's my God. A prayer of praise. Some people say, well, how do you praise? And I put examples in here for us to be able to follow. My soul magnifies you, O Lord, and my lips exalt your name. Truly your presence is in this place. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised, and are more precious to me than silver and gold. I want to praise you for, and then you just put your praise in there. What do you want to thank him for? How has he blessed you? How has he worked in your life? Lord, thank you for all that you've done for me. Lord, you are so good. You are so good to me. Amen. Start your time off with praise. And then you can enter into a time of just loving God. You know how it is when you first fell in love, and how you would just spend hours and hours just enjoying being around each other. That you would spend time just looking in each other's eyes and telling the other person how much you love them. That's what you do when you love God. Just sit in his presence, and you tell God that you love him. This is when you connect with God on an intimate level. And you can tell God that you love him. You can sing a song to God. In moments like these, I sing out a song. In moments like these, I sing out a love song. What do you sing? I love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, today. And as you sing that out, you mean that. And this is developing that intimacy with God in prayer. And then you flip the script. You read verses that God tells you how much he loves you. This is where intimacy comes in. And see, a lot of people are not becoming intimate. If I was to come and ask you, when was the last time that you were intimate with God? What would you say? Were you intimate with him this morning? Intimate with him yesterday? Were you intimate with him last week? When was the last time? When was the last time you in the presence of God? Loved him. When was the last time you let him love you? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That he so loved me that he gave his son for me. How much does God love me? Just look at the cross. That tells you. And you become intimate. You sense this relationship growing. You sense the deepness of this relationship as you love God. What is prayer? Prayer, somebody said prayer is talking to God. No, 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 prayer is not talking to God. Prayer is communication with God. See, I think that that's where we got this thing wrong. We think that we got to do all the talking. But sometimes God just says, be still and know that I am God. And then we can move into a time of, well, let me read my love prayer. Lord, you are the lover of my soul, and my desire is to love you more and more each day. Today I sit in your presence, desiring to have a deeper spiritual bond with you. I give myself over to you to love you by, and you just put in there how you want to love God. Do you want to just tell him that you love him? Do you want to sing a song to him? Do you want to read a verse on how he loves you? Or do you just want to meditate on the love of God? How do you want to love God? See, and by this time, you've praised him, right? And this don't have to be any long, drawn-out thing. You don't have to sit down and praise him for a half hour. You just come in. How long does it take you to praise him? How long does it take for you to tell somebody that you love them? How long does it take somebody to tell you that they love you? And then you move through your prayer time. Now, again, I want to say this right up front, because I don't want us to be legalistic. Somebody will say, well, Pastor Glaze said you got to do it like this. You got to go boom, boom, boom. No, I'm not saying that. You know, there are some days, I'll be honest with you, that I come right to this next one, what we're getting ready to talk about. And I spend most of my time right there. I spend most of my time with this next one, and that is confession. Now, you think that you don't have anything to confess? Did you have a cross word with somebody? Did you think a wrong thought? Did you look at something you shouldn't have looked at? Then you need to confess that to the Lord. Under confession, look what we have here. This is the point in your prayer time when you acknowledge your sins to the Lord. You can begin by putting yourself in the attitude of confession by scripture praying. You can read confessions offered up by biblical saints such as Nehemiah when he prayed and he confessed the sins of his people. Oh God, we have sinned. You go to the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter, and you see how that Daniel cried out to God, Lord, we have sinned. And there was an urgency in their voice. There was a crying out in their voice because they know that they had offended a thrice holy God. They know that this God is absolutely perfect and that any sin that they commit might not only be against somebody else, but it's against the God of the universe. And they cried out. During this time, you can do a self-examination and you can ask God to reveal to you any sins in your life. And I find that when I come to this point, if I just sit there and think about the day before, they just flow. Lord, I was short with this person. Lord, I had a thought that I shouldn't have had. Lord, I said something that I shouldn't have said. And God will begin, as you think about your day, he will begin to bring those things back. Now, why do we confess? We don't confess so that we can be forgiven to go to heaven. We already got that at the cross. That when we accepted Jesus Christ, our sins were cleansed right there. And we have a home in heaven. Why do we confess? We confess because...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of All Prayer. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, All Prayer, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request All Prayer. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request All Prayer. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.